Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and 19 through 20. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christmas is supposed to be the most joyous and wonderful time of the year. The gifts, the lights, the tree, the music, the seasonal foods, and who can forget the decorations? People are smiling, they're shopping, they're dressing up, they're going to parties, and people are happy. Then who can forget that there's always romance in the air with Hallmark movies, that John McClane saves hostages from the Nakatomi Tower, that Buddy brings back the Christmas spirit in the lives of New Yorkers, and George Bailey really does have the most wonderful life. I mean, we can all agree that it's the most wonderful time of the year. But if we're honest, for many, the reality is that this season is not the most wonderful time of the year. In fact, it's really a hard time. Because for you, Christmas is a reminder of how much more debt you are in. Christmas reminds you that you will see family members or people that you don't necessarily like and get along with, and conflicts that have never been resolved will be brought up to not be resolved again. That there will be empty spots at the dinner table, and that your life is already so overwhelming, and now with all you need to do, you'll be even more behind with work. Instead of the joy and peace that the season promises, there are problems and lots of chaos. Turn on the news and we all can see the brokenness that we see. Wars and rumors of wars, more wars, viruses, murders, corruption, fraud, crises, division, and disasters. And this doesn't even include the brokenness that we feel ourselves. Under the surface of our smiles, many of us are plagued with constant worries about the uncertainty in our lives and stressed with all the things that we still need to do. Our panic starts to build and quickly leads to restlessness and even sleeplessness. Many are depressed with their current lot in life, having to deal with unmet expectations and how situations have turned out. Everything may seem picture perfect on the outside on social media, but yet, when no one's around, we're left to deal with our loneliness, loss, shame, grief, shattered dreams, and questions about our life. And this is the thing about Christmas. Eventually, the Christmas tree and decorations all come down. The Christmas music stops playing on the radio. And though it seems like life is put on pause for the holidays, the reality is that we still have to face the reality of our lives. All our challenges are still there. Our responsibilities didn't disappear, and the worry, fear, and discouragement that we feel didn't go away. In fact, the joy and wonder of the season that everyone promises and advertises about can leave you kind of empty. But if culture tells us that Christmas is only a commercialized holiday about presents, lights, doing good, and eating good food to bring joy and warmth in a cold winter season, then what's the point? Because I can do all those things on my own any time of the year. And though those are great things to celebrate on a holiday, There has to be more significance to Christmas than that, right? Why is it that Christmas is considered the most wonderful time of the year? And when I found out the real reason why, everything in my life and the way the world started to look at and the way that I looked at the world, it all started to make a lot of sense. Because the why is what matters. And if we can know the why, especially with Christmas, then not only will the season matter, but our lives will matter and our lives will change eternally as a result of it. See, we find in the first book of the Bible known as Genesis, the first presentation of why a Christmas was needed. Theologians call this event the first gospel, meaning the first good news. We read about the creation in the book of Genesis, where God created the heavens and the earth, and the first two people created were Adam and Eve, because God wanted a relationship with them. God put Adam and Eve in a garden called Eden, and God's hope was that through a relationship with him, humans could experience God on an intimate level and reflect his attributes and values in their lives. However, being tempted by Satan, posing as a serpent to disobey God and go their own way, Adam and Eve violated God's command to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that act brought sin into their lives and into this world, corrupting every single human that came after them with a sinful nature. That sin would corrupt them and bring evil and death to all of humanity, both physically and spiritually. And sin would corrupt all that God had created as well, which is why today we see the death that we see and why we feel the brokenness that we feel. Because it all came from that choice that Adam and Eve made to go their own way apart from God. But knowing all that humans had done against him, God never gave up on them. God, being all-knowing, saw this coming because he knew that in order for people to choose to love him, they would have the freedom to choose right and wrong. And this was what God said to Satan, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So what does this mean? When God says he will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, it means that there will be a state of hostility that exists between Satan and the human race. And the promise by God is that one day, an offspring who is Jesus will come from the woman, and Satan will strike this offspring's heel, meaning Satan will injure him. But this offspring, this person, will come and crush Satan's head, meaning this offspring will kill Satan. God was revealing his plan to destroy Satan and offer salvation to the world through this person, Jesus. And this person will stand between Satan and humanity and undo everything that Satan has done to destroy humanity. Here's the first promise of good news, that someone will come to ultimately defeat evil and bring us back into the family of God. And this promise would be about Jesus. And all this would begin that first Christmas. That is why Christmas is about the incarnation. It is the event in all of human history when God fulfills that promise and becomes human. When God becomes one of us, God with skin on, God with a bod, and it's the incarnation where the invisible God becomes visible, as Jesus is in human flesh. It is where deity was clothed with humanity. All that God is, Jesus is. And that means a lot because the historical account about a baby born in a stable to a teenage mother and an unsuspecting father makes more sense than just a great, wonderful nativity scene that we see all around us. Because if that is really the reason why there is a Christmas, then we must answer three questions that arise. The first, who is Jesus? The second, why did Jesus have to come to earth? And the third, how does this affect us? So first, who is Jesus? Jesus in the Hebrew language is known as Yahweh, which means the Lord saves. We learn from the Christmas story that took place in the first century that God came to us as a human baby, which means that Jesus is fully God, who chose to take on the form of a human. So he is like us in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally. So Jesus being 100% God and 100% human means that Jesus is fully God and can do all that God can do. And Jesus is 100% human, meaning that he is fully able to identify with us 100% of the time. And this is great news because it means that Jesus knows the struggles that we face physically, mentally, emotionally. He knows our fears. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He knows and identifies with us because he is like us, but yet he was without sin. Scripture says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The word image, meaning copy or likeness, expresses Jesus' deity. This word involves more than a resemblance, more than a representation. Because all that God is, Jesus is. Scripture says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. When the text describes Jesus as the firstborn of creation, some people think that Jesus was the first to be created by God, which would mean that if he was created, then he can't actually be God. However, the description, firstborn over all creation, speaks of Jesus' pre-existence. The word over means that he is over everything that was created. He was not one who was created, but the actual creator, who is the exact representation of everything that God is. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus has authority over everything because he is the creator. He created the universe, the planets, the stars, and everything in the universe. The living creatures, the seasons, and even the gases and elements that sustain life and allow for us to survive. He is over all creation, including the spiritual world. Jesus has no equal, and he has no rival. He is Lord and Master of all, which leads us to the second question. Why did Jesus have to come to earth? Jesus came to fulfill the promise that we learned about in Genesis 3. He would deal with our sin so that things would be made right between us and him and us and others. Every day we are reminded that we have a sin problem, which is why we make the selfish choices that we do that not only hurt ourselves, but those around us. When we reject the ways of God and rebel against him, we enter into the realm of self-centeredness, greed, hatred, conflict, murder, and war, which all contributes to the brokenness in our lives and that we see all around us in this world. Sin diminishes us, it deceives us, it destroys us, and it robs us of our original design and calling. And the wages of sin is death, which is not just physical death, but spiritual death, and eternity without God, also known as hell. God knew he needed to do something, or else all of his creation that he loves would be lost and separated from him for all eternity. And that is why God came in human form. In fact, the Christmas story says that Jesus specifically came because he will save his people from their sins. Through his birth that happened over 2,000 years ago, a way was created for humanity to be rescued from their sin and reconciled with God. He came to provide the remedy. Scripture says this about Jesus: for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All the fullness of God is in Jesus, and he came to us in order to remove the sin wedge that prevents us from having a personal relationship with God. When that baby Jesus grew up to be a man, he chose to die on a cross for the sins of all humanity. And only someone who had never sinned could die for those that had sinned. Jesus was that someone. And why was Jesus able to die for all the sins of humanity? It is because an infinite God can die for infinite sin. And the shedding of his blood by his death on the cross cleansed the infinite sin of humanity, past, present, and future. His death cleansed humanity's sins, and his death provided a way for all people, including you and me, to now have a relationship with God once again, where we could experience redemption, forgiveness, and peace with him. However, this does not mean that everyone has been saved from their sins, but that the way has been provided for anyone who will trust that Jesus died for them will be saved from their sins. But not only did Jesus die for the sins of humanity, but on the third day he rose again, proving that he wasn't just a man, but that he is God who achieved forever the full justification of those who put their faith in him. His resurrection would mean that anyone who puts their faith in him will also resurrect with him and be with him for eternity. Christmas is the promise that just as Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant to die for the sins of humanity and put an end to sin's reign over us, he will come back again as a conquering king to crush Satan's head and put an end to him and all evil in this world. He will restore this earth into a new earth and restore all that was broken because of sin. He will bring justice to the nations and will make all things new like it was originally the way that he had created it to be. And so what does this mean for us? It means that Christmas is this celebration that we have a Savior, that we are forgiven, and that all that's wrong in our lives will someday be made right. Christmas means that no matter what we are facing, we're not alone. And therefore, we can always have hope, peace, even in our darkest moments because of God. It means that everyone, no matter who you are, what you have done, can now have a relationship with the God of the universe who loves you. Anyone who chooses to put their faith in him is not only saved from their sins, but they can start living life with him now and forever. But this is the thing we need to wrestle with. If Jesus is God, then like the scripture says, in everything he might have the supremacy. Which means that if we accept him into our lives to be the savior of our sins, then it is making the decision to have him be supreme and Lord over all areas of our lives as well. Which means that you can't really follow the supreme one if other things are supreme in our lives. If Jesus is God, if he is the truth, he can't just come into our lives to round it out or to supplement our life or just be an accessory in our life. He didn't just come to make us better. Jesus came to reorder our lives and our priorities around his life and his priorities. And it is when this happens that we experience joy and permanent transformation. Once we accept him to be the savior from our sins, we now get to enjoy a relationship with him as we learn to have him be the Lord and master of our lives. It is giving him supremacy over how we make our decisions, do our relationships, how we handle our finances, how we use our time, how we treat others, how we go about our vocation. Because when God leads us and when he is supreme over all aspects of our lives, we can experience the love that he gives, the hope that he promises, and live out the life that he intended. For some of you here, it's taking that first step this Christmas to finally trust this Savior to save you from your sins. And when you experience that, then it is doing the life work of walking with the Savior as you surrender aspects of your life to him, as he starts to reorder your life. For some of you, you already have trusted Jesus to save you from your sins, but he's not really supreme in your life. And I want to encourage you that if you take that step to surrender, you will mature your faith and you will experience Jesus in a more intimate and personal way than you are currently experiencing him. And for some of you, you're going to say, "Hey, Edwin, nice story, but I have other more important things to think about. I got school, I have a career to think about, I have family matters to attend to, I have other things on my plate." And if that is you, then I pray that you will be awakened to the reality of your brokenness and sin, and that you don't need to be God over your life and try to control and figure everything out yourself, because the God of the universe is there waiting for you to let him into your life so that he can lead you, he can love you as you learn to do life with him. So Christmas gives us all a choice. Will we accept this gift that God gave to us so that it can change us? Will we trust him to have lordship over our life? Will we trust that he's bigger than our situations, our problems, our circumstances, our worries, our unknown future? Will we trust that no matter what we have done, that the God who is sovereign over everything wants to do life with us and lead us in all areas of our life? So let this Christmas be the time when you experience salvation and hope and joy today, because God has come to make things right, not just in your life, but even in this world. When you embrace why Jesus came and personally experience it in your life, Christmas makes sense and you experience the real joy and wonderfulness that it brings. The lights make sense because it all points to Jesus being the light of the world who shows us the way out of darkness so we don't stumble. The singing makes sense because there is joy that sin has been forgiven and we have been made right with God and now we can be made right with others. There's hope, expectancy, and joy. All of this makes sense because we celebrate that all of human history and eternity changed that Christmas day, and so can our lives. Christmas isn't just a day on the calendar that we celebrate. It is the day when God came in person so we can experience his love and the good news that causes great joy for all who embrace it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that even though we were the ones who disobeyed you, we were the ones that brought sin into this world and into our lives, you still chose to love us and die for us so that we could be reconciled with you. And so God, thank you for being the one to show us how much you love us and that you came to forgive us. God, I pray for those that have taken the step for you to be the savior of their sins. I pray that they will continue to take steps to have you be the center and the Lord of their life over all aspects of their life. And I also pray for those that wrestle with this story and wrestle with how you play a role in their lives. God, help them to know that you don't condemn them, but you offer love and forgiveness, and you give them an invitation to start doing life with you. And so God, help all of us to remember that when you lead, and when we see you as Lord over everything, we not only experience you in a deeper way, but that our lives become fulfilled, our lives become satisfied. You know, as we continue in prayer, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want to start life with him, it's a matter of just inviting him to be involved in doing life with you. Maybe today you are sensing your need for him. You are sensing your need for forgiveness for your sins and the need for God to be first in your life and your circumstances. If that is you, then repeat after me saying, Heavenly Father, I repent and I turn from my sins. Forgive me and transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you came personally to me. Thank you that you died for my sins and that you saved me from my sins. It is because of you that I can now have true joy and peace. Thank you for new life. Now my life is yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. You can email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to follow up with you and give you some resources so that you can grow in that relationship with God. Now, friends, Merry Christmas, and may you go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.